Mishpatim. Scripture is full of all sorts of stories, all sorts of history, parables, metaphors, all sorts of writing styles to teach us and lead us into being more like Messiah, leading us into the presence of Adonai. And this week's Torah portion has what's called a metaphor to show us the correct way to act towards others. Now, the dictionary definition of a metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or phrase literally denoting one kind of object or idea is used in place of another to suggest a likeness. So one thing is used, we say one thing when we really mean another. And it's very similar to a simile. You know, let me tell you something. I'm not an English teacher, but this is my one little thing about English I kind of knew, but I made sure that I had it right. A metaphor and simile are very similar. The difference is that a simile normally uses words like, the same as, whereas a metaphor doesn't. So if you say she cried a river of tears, that would be a metaphor. If you say her tears were like a river, that's a simile. And when I looked them up, just to make sure I got which one was which, thesaurus, they kind of cross over each other. You see one word under the other as well. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see a metaphor in today's Torah portion in a couple of places, actually, about the same thing. So let's start off with Exodus 22:20. 22:20 says, "You must not exploit or oppress an outsider, for you were outsiders in the land of Egypt." Straightforward, right? But it's important because he says it just one chapter later again. In 23:9, he says, "Do not oppress an outsider, for you know the heart of an outsider, since you were outsiders in the land of Egypt." Basically the same thing said twice. And the wording of the plain text is pretty obvious. It's easy. "For those who are part of your people, or don't mistreat them. Or even if part of not part of your people, the strangers with among you, don't mistreat them." But this is where the metaphor comes into place, and it's just as important for us, for those who follow Torah, for those who want to be Messiah-like, following Yeshua. And this is the metaphor, that the outsider is not just the people who are not Jewish or not followers of Adonai, because there were non-Jewish people who were following Adonai in the desert wilderness, and just like today, there are non-Jewish people who are here with us today. That's a good thing. But the outsider really is anybody who doesn't follow Torah. The world, we would call them today sinners. Okay? I'm not saying anybody who doesn't follow all of Torah is a sinner. It's not what I'm saying, because that's just not true. But Scripture is that moral code for us. It's a moral code that we're to follow. And if you're not following that moral code, then I think we can label that someone as a sinner. So Scripture is actually saying more than just don't mistreat them. Here's the metaphor. You know, the part of the metaphor is the stranger is the one who's not following code. But it also says don't mistreat them, which is the same as don't judge them. Because by judging them, we're actually oppressing them or mistreating them. Scripture tells us it's not our place to judge. So we need to ask ourselves, well, who's the stranger? Who's the outsider, really? Because Talmud says don't oppress the stranger 36 times. That's a lot of times. It must be important. There must be a great truth behind it, more than just the plain text. So we're going to look through Scripture a little bit to see that. And we're told, again, we read Exodus 29, and it said, you know the heart of the outsider. Remember what it was like. Remember, you were a stranger at one time. You should know what it feels like to be the stranger. You know what it's like to have those actions taken against you because you're an outsider. We've all felt that way at one time or another. Scripture's full of stories about people being outsiders. Abraham left home to be a stranger and an outsider. Genesis 15:13, Adonai told Abraham that he would be a stranger in the land, and Abraham even called himself a stranger in the land, called himself an outsider. When he went to go buy the field to bury Sarah from the Hittites, this is what he said in Genesis 23:3. Then Abraham rose from before his dead one and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am an outsider and a sojourner among you. Give me a gravesite among you so that I may bury my dead from before my presence. He was saying he was different from those of the land. He had different thoughts, different ways. He was a stranger to them. Not just that they didn't know him before, but he did things differently. Jacob left home and lived as a stranger with Laban. He got treated as a stranger over and over again because his wages kept getting changed. He wasn't treated as a family member, which he should have been, but he was treated as that stranger over and over again by Laban. Joseph obviously was a stranger living in Egypt almost his whole life. After his brothers, sold him off. Even after being lifted up to second in all the land, second only to Pharaoh, he was still treated as a stranger. They wouldn't eat with him. Genesis 43:32 says, so they served him by himself, them by themselves, them being his brothers who had come but didn't know it was him yet, and the Egyptian who were eating with him by themselves. The Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews because it was an abomination to the Egyptians. They were all called strangers in the land, different from those who called the world their home. We're not to call the world our home, but we're to be different. And we should strive to be different because that difference is being Messiah-like, following the codes, following Yeshua, knowing what it is that Adonai has in store for us. Living without sin. Peter in 1 Peter tells us this in chapter 2, starting in verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You were shown no mercy, but now you have been shown mercy. Loved ones, I urge you as strangers and sojourners to keep away from the fleshly cravings that war against the soul. You're to be strangers and sojourners. The same words that Abraham used to describe himself. A stranger and sojourner through a land, through a world that we're not to be part of. We have to be within it, but not a part of it. Peter's talking to people who currently believe in Messiah Yeshua. You can be Jewish and still not a person of Adonai. You can be Jewish and living very secularly, immorally. That's not being a person of Adonai's. So there is a difference. When we were not people distant from Adonai, we were shown no mercy because we were strangers. But we embraced that strangeness and we tried to be like them so we wouldn't be strangers. That's not what we're called to do. Now that we know Yeshua, we're still to be strangers in this land, but we're to follow his words. We're not to act like we want to be part of this land any longer. Now we act like he wants us to act, not like the way the world wants us to act. When we read scriptures, we see this idea that we're to take the past experiences that we had as strangers, and they should better us. We remember what it was like to be a stranger, and therefore it should make us better because we don't want to be that way to other people. We don't want to oppress them like we were oppressed. We remember what it was like so that we don't do it to other people. We show kindness because kindness wasn't always shown towards us. Now, there's a 20th century biblical commentator, and her name was Nahama Leibowitz, and writes just this, that it's not easy. She says, quote, "Do past memories and experiences of strangeness and slavery really prevail on the influence of newly liberated independent to adapt an attitude of tolerance and love to the stranger living among them? Do we not often find the opposite is true? That hate, persecution, and shame the individual community experiences in the past do not act as deterrents, preventing them adopting the same attitudes as those entrusted to their power. The fact that you were strangers in the land of Egypt is certainly no adequate motivation for not oppressing the stranger." Says, just because you knew doesn't mean you're automatically going to do it. In fact, it says, because we were oppressed and we have scars from it, many times we're passing on those scars. Because we want to get rid of the sin in our own life, we shouldn't be passing down our scars. We should remember what it was like to be the sinner and not judge. We know we can't purge all the sin from us. Hey, if we could do that, we wouldn't need a Messiah. We wouldn't need the blood to cleanse us. We can't do it. We'll never be there on this side of eternity. We'll always be a little bit of that stranger within us. We'll always have that little bit of stranger within us. But we strive as much as possible to purge out the sin. And we don't follow just by a religion, by the moral code. It's by having that relationship with Messiah Yeshua. Now, I saw a quote from a Reform rabbi, Sarah Besson, and it said this: "No religion is perfect, but religion can be extremely effective when we need to be reminded that we aren't perfect either." It's true. No religion is perfect. But Torah's job is to remind us that no person is perfect. And it's really good at that job. Torah, if we read Torah and we live it out, it'll remind us that we're not perfect. Torah and Scripture also should remind us not to judge others. Not to judge that the other person who's in sin. Yeah, we judge the sin. Yeah, we come against the sin, but not this person who's doing the sin. That's for Yeshua to do when he returns. That's why we're told in Leviticus 19, in verse 18 of Leviticus 19, 18, it says, "You are not to take vengeance nor bear any grudges against the children of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself." Boy, it'd be easy if they weren't such sinners. But we're told, don't take vengeance on their sin. Because remember, you're a sinner too. So don't take vengeance on their sin. It's repeated by Yeshua. Yeshua says this a few times in the New Covenant, in the Brit Hadashah. And he says it there in Luke. So we're going to look at Luke 6:37. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned." We're not called to judge. We're not the right people, and this isn't the right time to judge. Hebrews 9 tells us when that right time will be. 9:27 of Hebrews says, "And just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this judgment, so also Messiah was offered once to bear the sins of many. He will appear a second time, apart from sin, to those eagerly awaiting for his salvation." After death, it says, is judgment. It's not a New Covenant idea, though. Daniel 12 tells us the same thing. Daniel 12, 2. "Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." Shame and contempt are the judgment of sin, the final judgment of sin for those who don't have atonement by the blood of Yeshua. Here's the time. Now we're told what the right time is. Now we're told who the right one to do the judging is. The correct time is after death, and the correct one is Adonai, Yeshua. See, even now, there's some judgment, of course. Even now, Adonai judges here on earth. Exodus 23:30 tells us about that. "But little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you are fruitful. Then you will possess the land." What was the judgment of the Canaanites? To be driven out of the land. Little by little. You know, we want to say, "I want them out. I want them out now." Even from our lives today. Those who are sin, we want them out. "Banish them from our sight, Lord. Smite them." But that's not what we're called to do. It's not what he wants to do. Little by little, Adonai will judge and drive them out now. And those are the ones not following him. Because that second coming of Messiah Yeshua, that's the time for the final judgment of all men. So the question really is, do you trust Adonai enough to give over judgment towards those you disagree with and for those who are sitting even in your presence. With or without knowing Yeshua, they could be either one. We're to leave that up to Adonai for the judgment. We can judge the sin, but don't judge the person. Hey, you can't save someone. You can't lead them to salvation if you're judging them. It's just about impossible. Can't be done. We've all been strangers. All been strangers ourselves at some time. Even now, we sin. I don't know anybody who hasn't sinned. Anybody who doesn't currently still sin in some way. You know, if I say I'm not a sinner, it's because in the last 5 seconds I didn't sin. But give me that 6 seconds, I probably will. That's who we are because we're made of flesh. We as sinners, we as strangers, at times have been under severe, long-continued, and cruel oppression. Judgment. Knowing the fears, knowing the cares, knowing the anxieties, the longings, which the heart of a stranger feels. Why do we know it? Because we were and we are still strangers at times, still sinners at times. That should be a forcible appeal to us on why we should treat people differently than people have treated us. Easy? No. Man, these last couple of weeks? No. But I keep turning back. And what do? Lord, bless them. Lord, bless them. Maybe they know what they're doing. Maybe they don't know what they're doing. It doesn't matter. It's not up to me to curse them. It's not up to me to judge them. Maybe they know the effects of the sin in their life. Maybe they don't know the effects of the sin in their lives. It's not really for me to judge them. I could point out that sin and tell them a way away from that sin, but it's not for me to judge them for that sin. I can tell them the effects of their sin are eternal. That if you don't know Messiah Yeshua, that sin effect is eternal. That sin effect will separate you from Messiah, from Adonai, from Messiah eternally. That the eternal joy that comes from knowing Adonai will not be yours if you're sinning, willfully sinning. So why do we judge people? Why do we judge people? Perhaps it's because we've forgotten what it's like to be judged. Or perhaps it's because the hurts and the scars that have caused us to lash out at other people, and sometimes even to ourselves. Because sometimes who's the hardest judge on you? It's yourself. Being a harsh judge on yourself is just as bad as being a judge against someone else. Let yourself go. Don't judge yourself. Yeshua, when he came back, when he came to the earth the first time for salvation, he was in a position to judge. Why? Because he was pure and spotless. He's Adonai. But he knew it wasn't the correct time. That was not the time for judgment. He brought salvation. He brought sacrifice. He did not bring judgment. If he doesn't bring judgment, who are we to bring judgment? We who follow him are able to bring judgment, but we're not able to bring salvation. We don't bring salvation. We can tell people of salvation. Well, if we can't do both, we shouldn't be doing the judgment part. Don't judge others. There is a time, and there is a specific person who will do it. The time is after death. The time is at his second coming. Yeshua will be coming as the judge. Do you trust him enough to open your hands up and let go of judgment so that he can do it at the right time? That's the question for us today. Father, we thank you that you are the judge and we don't need to be. We thank you that we can trust you to be righteous in your judgments. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to open our hands up to release the judgment of others. Help us to love even the stranger, even the sinner. Help us to embrace them so that they can see us as the example of who you are, of your love for us. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you've even held off your judgment, the final judgment, so it's not while we're living, so that each one who still has breath in their body can still make the decision to accept Yeshua as Messiah. So on that day of judgment, they will be saved. So in eternity, when we get to the other side of eternity, they will have that joy everlasting. Ruach, help us to be vessels that you can use to show them joy everlasting can be theirs. Give us appointed meetings with hearts that are softened by the Ruach HaKodesh. We just thank you that you've softened our hearts and you've let us know who you are. We just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen.